The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm sure glad you could join us for this week's Netcast. We're still looking at this topic, looking into this topic called Watch Your Attitude. And this is part two of that particular message. So if you haven't heard the first part of this message, go back into our video archives and catch the beginning of this teaching. But we want to get right into it immediately. So let's go into it right now. You know, it just doesn't seem right. But that's just the way it is. That car, simply driving it off of the lot, is already wearing. It's already becoming less, you know, less new, if that makes sense. It's degenerating to a certain extent. And here's the truth of this. There's a scientific term, you may have heard of this before, scientific term called entropy. Everything in the natural world tends to entropy. Entropy is that systems that are ordered tend to break down. Metal tends to rust. It's just the world. I think personally, I don't have Bible on this, but just personally, I think this is a result of the fall and a result of sin entering into the world and the curse entering into the world. And because of that, things that are new and fresh and clean and shiny get dull and rusted and old and start breaking down. Now you say, well, yeah, but Dr. Bill, you know, the children of Israel left Egypt, and when they did, their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out that whole time. Well, that's supernatural, isn't it? That's supernatural divine protection. And you know what? You can believe for supernatural divine protection on your things as long as the things don't have you. Now, why do we know that? Because if you let the things have you, you're of little faith, your faith won't work, and the protection won't be there. Okay? But if you just take the attitude, well, praise the Lord blessed me with this car. This car is just going to run, not going to have any problems with it. It's a blessing of the Lord. Well, he'll take care of it. Amen. You can believe for that. But the thing is, the whole time you're believing for that, where's your attention? On the Lord that blessed you with the car. On the Lord that's going to keep that car running well. Not on the car. The car is not the thing. You know, or put it this way, the car is the thing, therefore it's going to not matter, you know, in the long run. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back up to Matthew 6. We were getting a little ahead of ourselves there. Wherefore, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought. Notice that. The way he phrases that. Take no thought. Do you know a thought can be presented to you, but you don't have to take it? Yeah. Same thing's true of a temptation. A temptation can be presented to you, but you don't have to take it. That's why it's a temptation, not a sin. Now, once you take the temptation and do the thing that the temptation's encouraging you to do, that's when it becomes sin. Because you did it. You know, full will involved, you did it. But just the temptation, do you know that the Word of God says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, because he didn't take the temptation up on what it was offering. So he was tempted yet without sin. Did you know you can be tempted and not sin if you decide not to take the temptation and run with it? But now if you take the temptation and run with it, guess what? You can repent and ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you. But repent does mean turn, not do it again. Okay? Now I know there's people, let's face it, all of us have something we deal with all the time. Just seems like we are constantly dealing with that thing, and we are believing God to get a hold of it. You know, God understands that, and he works with you on that. There's always a way. Whenever a temptation comes, he provides a means of escape. And if you find that means of escape, praise the Lord, you can take it and run with it, not have to be taken by the temptation. And that's what we ought to be doing. too many Christians today, I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit here. Too many Christians today have bought into this greasy grace idea that, well, it doesn't matter what I do. And so I'll just do whatever I want to do. And they just go out and sin big time. Don't even have a thought about it. Now, I tell you the danger of that. There's a lot of dangers in that. But one of the big ones is your heart will begin to get calloused toward the fact that it's wrong. Now, you look at the world. Boy, I am getting off on a tangent, but this is a good tangent, so I'm going to run with it. I did a message a few years ago called The Mystery of Lawlessness. And if you were not here for that message, this was years ago, I don't know, probably 4 years ago or more, you can go to our website, wfm.org, look at the teaching archive, and go in there, and that message is in there. You can download the MP3 file, or you can play it right there on the website, whatever. But I'm telling you, every so often you teach something, and the Holy Ghost just completely takes over so strong that after I taught that message, I went back and listened to it and went, wow, that is good information. And it wasn't because I taught it, because it was entirely the Holy Ghost, okay? That message is strong, and the reason it's strong, I believe, is because it is so important for us in this particular day that we're in right now. The mystery of lawlessness is at work. There is a spirit of lawlessness, and that spirit and mystery of lawlessness is at work today more than I've ever seen it. We have politicians that are publicly standing up and brazenly saying, I will not obey this law, I will do this. And just boldly breaking the law, breaking the Constitution, breaking laws that have been enacted. And because of the mystery of lawlessness, now this is the point you need to get, because of the mystery of lawlessness, the world is stepping back and letting them get away with it. Because they are also lawless. Lawless means the law exists, but they do not obey the law consistently, repeatedly. They live in a state of breaking that law to the point that the whole world has gotten callous to that. Now you think about this. Right now we have a chief executive of the United States that stands there and says, I don't care what the lawmaking body of our country says, I have a pen and I have a phone and I'll do whatever I want to do. And he's supposed to be a constitutional scholar, so he must, if he truly is a constitutional scholar, which I might debate, but still, if he is, that means he is knowingly breaking the law, going against the Constitution of the United States that he has sworn to uphold, and does not bat an eye. Matter of fact, he happily uses his pen and his phone to do anything he wants to do. Now, the question I have, could that have been something that we would have seen regularly, day after day after day on the news 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? I mean, if we had a president that would have done that, oh my goodness, the door would have had to hit him on the back end as he left, because they'd have impeached him so fast. Today, it's like, oh no, well, what are you going to do? The mystery of lawlessness is at work. The world is moving in a lawless direction. They're breaking the law regularly. Now, going back to my point that I was trying to make before I got on my soapbox. So, those, I don't know, hour or less that you're running that camera may not seem like a big deal in terms of time, effort, energy, thought, whatever, but it can make all the difference to that person out there that needs to hear the message and needs to see what's going on here at Faith and Victory Church. I tell you, we got the goods here. Hallelujah. And folks are seeing it. They may not be physically coming necessarily yet, although I'm sure they're bunch coming in, but at the same time they're watching on video. So what you do for the kingdom is the most important thing in your life. That's just one thing. Sharing at the, you know, at the Safeway or the Lowe's Foods or wherever you happen to be, and talking to somebody in line about the Lord, or that person at work that asks you, you know, what do you think about this? And you get into a Bible discussion with them. Happens to me a lot. And those few minutes, those are the critical things that are the key, most important. Not watching TV, not sitting around doing nothing, not reading a book, whatever, that might you might think's fun. Now again, nothing wrong with that. But where it counts is where the kingdom's involved. Where it counts is where we're reaching people with the Word of God. Hallelujah. And that's what's important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And guess what? As you do that, a couple of things will happen when you seek first the kingdom of God. By doing some of these things we're talking about, for instance. First of all, you'll start getting a joy. It's so fulfilling to do what God's called you to do. You'll get excited about reaching folks for the Lord. And that'll be joyful and that'll be exciting, but you're also seeking first the kingdom, so guess what? The things start coming. You'll start noticing, whoo, look at that, I got blessed. I got that computer that I wasn't really expecting to be able to get, but I got it. Hallelujah. You know, things start happening. Because as you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all these things shall be added, shall be added, shall be added. And it just starts coming in. Man, that's exciting. And it's not a thing of seeking the thing, because I tell you, that is a dead-end street. If all you're doing is seeking the thing, you're just going to get caught up in that, and your emotions and your life's going to get tied up in that, and you're not going to have the joy of the Lord by serving Him and seeking the kingdom. But if you do the kingdom stuff, all the fun stuff happens too. It's a neat system God's got for us. Amen. All right, take therefore no thought for the morrow, or tomorrow. Let's put it that way. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the days the evil thereof. Now, that may at first sound kind of negative. You know, it's like, well, man, every day has got its evil. Well, what he's really saying here, if you take the King James out of it a bit, he's basically saying every day there's things you're going to have to deal with. Every day you're going to have some issue to deal with, or some situation or bill or whatever it might be to deal with. You know what? Every day. Just don't even take thought about it. Just say, God's got it. God's handling it. I've rolled the care of that all over on Him. Praise the Lord. And don't take the care. See, again, take the thought by saying it. Don't take the worry. Don't take the care. Don't take the concern. You have to take it. You can also say, I'm not going to take it. Just don't sign for it. You know, if they try to deliver it, say, no, I don't sign for that. And go on with the Lord on this. All right, let's go back and talk a little further about 1 John 2:15, where he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, for he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now that goes back to what we're saying about seeking the kingdom. If you're doing the will of the Lord, if you're doing the kingdom things, all the things take care of themselves. And you don't have to get involved in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All the things take care of themselves. All right, let's go to, this is just one verse out of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 9:23, and this goes back to something again that I heard Pastor Keith Moore talk about that really struck me. It says, and I found this scripture after hearing him talk about it in a different light. So I found this scripture this afternoon while I was studying for this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, what's the word that keeps repeating? Glory. Don't take glory in what you've been blessed with. Whether that's riches and things that God's blessed you with, whether that is intellect. You know, some folks mentally are sharper than others. Just the way it is. But don't let the person who has a great intellect take glory in that. you know, sit back and go, yes, amen, I'm a smart guy. You know, all that does is lift you up. In fact, the intelligence came from the Lord. Wisdom comes from God. Intelligence comes from Him. You might say, well, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, Dr. Bill. Well, no, you don't need to be confessing that. You need to be saying the love of God and the life of God, the Zoe life of God, builds me up. You ever heard Brother Hagin talk about believing for the Zoe life of God to give him an intellect that was second to none? The man could memorize scripture, he could memorize information at an unbelievable level, and he would tell you, if you ask him about it, it's the Zoe life of God. He just kept believing for that and believing. I know that to be absolutely the case because in the natural, okay, in the natural, I'm not that good with mathematics. I have come to understand that through the years. But there was a point in my life back in the mid-80s when I was going to school in computer science. This was well after I graduated from college in 1978, and I had gone back to school in computer science, and I had to take computer mathematics. That was learning to add, subtract, multiply, and divide in binary, octal, and hexadecimal. This was back in the days of punch cards, and you had to know how a computer worked at the gut level. Now today they don't even teach that. This was back in the early days when you really had to know how all this stuff worked. And I find that having learned that all those years ago, it's easier to do certain things now because I know the guts. I know how it works. But I went into that class and I thought, oh Lord. I mean, I do pretty well with 2 plus 2, but this stuff, my goodness, it's a whole different, you know, base. It's not base 10, it's base 2 and 6. And I'm like, what? It was a whole different way of thinking. And I heard Brother Hagin talk about the Zoe life of God. I heard him talk about the fact that he believed, he set his faith that he would have understanding, natural understanding. And so I said, Father, hallelujah, I am believing for supernatural understanding. I'm believing for the Zoe life of God. I started confessing that. I started believing that. Now get this. When I was in high school, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I flunked algebra. I don't mean I did poorly. I flunked. I had a 50-something, and I failed it. And because I was on college prep, I had to take it again. And I thought, oh, Lord, don't let me get the same teacher, but I did. Same boring teacher, Ms. Yokley, bless her heart. You know, yes, William, you need to do better. It's like she was a dried up little old lady, and she couldn't have been that old. You know, when you're really young, you look at somebody that's like 50 and think, oh man, they're ancient. You know what I'm saying? But she wasn't really that old, but she just acted old and talked old. Oh my. And so I went through her class the second time, and I told her, I said, Ms. Yokley, please, I've got to pass this. She said, I know you do. You just hang in there, you do the work, and you'll pass. Well, I did the best I possibly could, and I came up that second year, and I had a 69, and 70 was passing. And she came to me. Now, back then, the reason I say William, back then they called me by my full name, you know. And she said, William, you did the very best you could, so I'm going to give you that point. So I got out of there with a D-, and I rejoiced. That I was so blessed. So now that was just algebra, you know, A plus B equaling C. I mean, that was it. So now here I am, about 1982, 3, somewhere in there, 5. I think it was 1985. I was taking this course, and it was computer math, binary hexadecimal. Oh, my goodness. And I studied, and I confessed, and I believed. I got out of there with a solid A. 100 points. Now you got to understand, folks, that is a miracle of God. God parting the Red Sea was not a big deal compared to me getting an A in computer mathematics. Oh my goodness. And to tell you the truth, that whole year of computer science that I took, I had a 4.0 average across the board every single class. And I thought, this is God. Now, at the same time, I had the interest, I had the motivation, I really enjoyed computers. So that was good too, but it had to be a miracle of God. So the thing is, intelligence, intellect, all of this comes from the Lord, and you believe for it and you can receive it. So therefore, we don't glory in wisdom. We don't glory in might, strength. We don't glory in riches. But that doesn't mean you can't have the wisdom. That doesn't mean you can't have the strength. And that doesn't mean you can't have the riches. You just don't glory in it. See, it's an attitude. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He's talking to Christians here. I want you to remember that he's talking to Christians. He says, charge them. Now, charge is an interesting word in the Greek. It means more than just instruct them. Charge them means this must be law. Okay? This is strong. He's exhorting Timothy here as a young pastor to charge people that are rich in this world. Well, now, hold on. We're Word of Faith, folk. We're supposed to be believing to be rich. Okay? Nothing wrong with that, as long as you go according to this charge. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in it. Don't be high-minded. Well, I'm rich. I don't have to deal with what those peons have to deal with. See, high-minded. That's an attitude. Well, you can have the things and be rich and have a good attitude about it, and that's okay. But don't be high-minded, don't trust in the uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Underline that right there. That's what I was referring to earlier. He giveth us, believers, all things richly. So he's not holding back. Richly to do what? Enjoy. Nothing wrong with you enjoying the bass boat. Nothing wrong with you enjoying the car, as long as your attitude's right. He gives you the things to enjoy that they who, the rich person that you're charging, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, that means give. That means when you get the finances, God wants you to give it away, not hold it. Because see, if you're holding it and hoarding it and not giving, then you're trusting in the riches, not in the Lord. He's the one who gave you the riches. Let them go. Now, I'm not saying be crazy. Use wisdom, yes. But when God speaks to you, you know, give $10,000 to that person, say, fine, let me write you a check. Give, be willing and ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Again, this word communicate in the Greek is talking more about your behavior. Be ready to operate in the right behavior as a rich person. Now, what happens when they do that? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. In other words, there's heavenly blessing for you operating in the natural the way you should with your riches, your blessing. Now you may say, well, Dr. Bill, I'm not personally rich. You're blessed. I guarantee you, you're more blessed now than you were 10 years ago. I'm sorry, you are. You think about it. You meditate on it. You look at it. I know for a fact that where I'm at now is better than where I was 10 years ago. Absolutely. And that's the blessing of the Lord. And everybody, you look at your situation, I believe you'll say the same thing. So the thing is, the riches, the blessing is coming. Now, a lot of people say, well, I didn't have anybody give me $1 million yesterday. No, maybe not. But it's incremental. It's blessing over time. Remember, again, situation, looking at me personally, I'm making a whole lot more now than I was 10 years ago. You say, well, yeah, you know, they're increased because of inflation. No, you look at it, it's more than inflation. It's the blessing of the Lord coming in. And there's just a lot of other examples like that. And I'm sure there's plenty in your life that are the same way. But the point is, don't look to the riches. Don't look to the blessing. Look to the Lord that gave them. Look to fulfill and do things for his kingdom. and be willing and ready to distribute. Be rich in good works. Be willing to communicate. Laying up in store this good foundation and eternal life. All right, let's go to verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Plenty of those out there, particularly on Facebook. I think that's interesting. But anyway, and oppositions of science falsely so-called. I could have stopped earlier, but I wanted to read this verse because I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff that's claiming to be science that's just not science. It has nothing to do with real science. But it's science falsely so-called. And yet they're attacking Christianity, they're attacking things of the Word of God because of science, and it's really not. See, I wanted to include that in there. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace with be with thee, amen. Some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, I mentioned greasy grace earlier. There's a lot of doctrines out there. People are erring or in error concerning faith, concerning grace, concerning all kinds of things that's going on in this world today. But praise the Lord, there's a lot of good stuff going on out there too. And we need to center up on that. We need to center up on the good things that God's doing. There's a revival coming, folks. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people, they'll woe and woe is me and groan and gripe, and we're living in the Laodicean age. The whole church is just, you know, dried up, and their love isn't for the Lord anymore and all this kind of stuff. You know what? That may be true at a certain point, a certain level. But that's not true of us. That's not true of Faith and Victory Church. That's not true of a whole lot of other churches out there. Keith Moore, I mentioned him, his church. Praise the Lord. Strong and going and blowing for the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a lot of churches out there that are doing well and are preaching the Word of God correctly and seeking after the kingdom of God and the things of God. And we need to be centering up on that and not centering up on woe is us, all the bad stuff that's happening. You know what? It's the last days. There's some bad stuff going to happen. And there's things that are alarming that are happening. But I'm just going to concentrate on the Word and the kingdom and seek that. And God's going to keep blessing me. And you know, we may be an island of blessing out there in all the sea of trash that's going on. But praise the Lord, we'll be there and be an example and be something that people can look to and say, whoo, hallelujah, they got it going on. Let's go over to Faith and Victory Church and see what they're teaching, praise the Lord. And that, I believe that's happening. I believe people are getting a hold of some things, watching our TV broadcast, watching our, listening to our tapes and our audio that's going out there across the internet and everything else. I'm just excited about what's happening, praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. We need to watch our attitude. And I hit on a lot of different things that we need to watch our attitude in, not the least of which is focusing on the negative that's happening in the world and not focusing on the fact that revival's coming, not focusing on the fact that the kingdom of God's going forward. Hallelujah. We need to stay positive in a negative world. And we need to keep our attitude straight, not on the things, but on God who's blessing us with these things richly. Well, praise the Lord. That concludes our message on watching your attitude. You've got to keep the right attitude. We'd love for you to write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, drbill, at wfm.org. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.